God's blessing to be with you. Welcome to the Monday-Thursday worship service at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Waseca, Minnesota. Our pastor is Reverend Dr. Larry Griffin. Today's broadcast is dedicated to the glory of God.
The Lord be with all of you out there on this Monday-Thursday evening. Our sermon theme tonight is Do This Often. And we begin with hymn number 570, again one of my favorites, Just As I Am Without One Plea, number 570.
I am thy love unknown.
The liturgy tonight is the Order of Vespers, page 229 in Lutheran Service Book. 229. O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, Lamb of our salvation.
A reading tonight from Matthew chapter 26. Now on the first day of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, "Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" He answered, "He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." Judas, who would betray him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" He said to him, "You have said so." Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. For this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. O Lord, have mercy on me. Thanks be to God. We continue with a sermon hymn, number 560, 560, drawn to the cross which thou hast blessed. 560. Cleansing though it be through pain,
so sweet a service be, that angels well might envy me. Christ crucified, I come.
Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text tonight is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where St. Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Dear friends in Christ, a strange night this is. A meal at the very heart of our faith has been determined by the world to be non-essential. Or to be a little more kind about it, our society has decided that with regard to congregating and communing this week, the risks outweigh the benefits. For some Christians, it's a small price to pay. For others of us, it is a bitter pill to swallow. For some, it's a small matter. And for others of us, it's a big deal. Our Lord's Supper was a big deal in the little church where I grew up in Barney, North Dakota. It was a meal to which we looked forward. For a couple of reasons I say that. We actually had a 6-year confirmation program in my little church. That's right, a 6-year confirmation program. Every Saturday morning from 9 o'clock till 11 o'clock. During the school year, grades 3 through 8, we didn't just study Bible history, we studied advanced Bible history. We didn't just memorize a few Bible verses, we memorized 703 King James Version Bible classes, verses out of the 1941 Small Catechism. Mainly, our pastor, Pastor Dirks, instructed us in such a way that we looked forward to that first communion as surely as a young person might look forward to getting married. It was a big deal. Many of you out there in radio land and Facebook land, you know what I'm talking about, especially if you're not a spring chicken anymore. At confirmation, we went from being a kid to a young man, and to the high privilege in my church of getting to usher. That's when we got to usher. The words of institution of our Lord's Supper, as recorded in 1 Corinthians, are before us tonight. These words are like a diamond dropped into a muddy road. One of the most beautiful passages in all of Scripture is given in the middle of St. Paul rebuking a congregation in Corinth, rebuking them for their worldly, selfish, insensitive attitudes and behavior. This group of Christians in Corinth, they couldn't even do the Lord's Supper right. They couldn't do a fellowship meal followed by the Holy Communion correctly. Some of them were getting drunk. The rich folks weren't sharing their food with the poor folks. They had turned a meal meant to be pure good news into a meal that irritated and divided. Scholars agree that 1 Corinthians was likely written before any of the Gospels. If that is true, this would be the first recorded account of the Lord's Supper. The historical setting of this was that this was the night Jesus was betrayed. He would be arrested, and he would be put on trial. The Passover meal would begin with the host pronouncing a blessing over the first cup of red wine and passing it around. Before the night was over, 4 cups of wine would be passed around. Families in small groups would drink the first cup. Then there would be bitter herbs dipped in a fruit sauce. For the Israelites, that would bring to mind the bitterness of slavery in Egypt. And for us tonight, it recalls the bitter pill we are swallowing by being kept away from our sanctuaries, denied the privilege of eating and drinking at the table, as is our habit. Then these families in Israel would sing a portion of the psalmody. Then a second cup would be passed. Then the host would break and pass around the unleavened bread. Then the meal itself, including roasted sacrificial lamb. Then prayer. Then a third cup would be passed. Then the second part of the psalmody would be sung. And a fourth cup would celebrate the kingdom yet to come. It was the third cup that Jesus blessed, which became the cup of the New Testament communion. Listen again to these words of institution. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." In Egypt, the unleavened bread was a sign that Israel needed to leave in haste and that God would be leading the way. In this new meal, the bread is in communion with the very body of Christ. To the Jewish mind, the body of Jesus signified not just his physical body, but the great mystery of the incarnation, all of his teaching, and all that he did. As often as you eat this bread with repentant and believing hearts, that often, dear people of God, the body of Jesus is being delivered into your heart, your mind, and your soul. I can't explain it, but I can invite you again tonight to believe it, to celebrate it, and to understand that our celebration of the Lord's Supper here on earth is about as good as life can get for Christians. In Egypt, the cup of wine brought to mind the blood of the lamb smeared on the doorposts back in Egypt. In the new meal, the wine is in communion with the very blood of the lamb who takes away the sins of the world. He takes away the guilt of our sins. He takes away the power of our sins. The old covenant was ratified repeatedly by the blood of animals offered by men, but the new covenant has been ratified once and for all by the blood of Christ. The old deliverance was from Egypt to Canaan. The new deliverance is from sin to salvation. It's from guilt to innocence. It's from tiredness to being alive. It is from Satan's realm to God's heaven. It is from death unto life. It's a big deal. In the Old Testament, the Lord told his people where to worship, how to worship, what to bring as a sacrifice. He told them how often to do it. In other words, he treated them as children, spelling out every step of the way what they were to be doing. In the New Testament, he treats us as mature sons and daughters. He makes it clear that we are to develop the habits of worshiping and communing. But he doesn't lay down specific rules. He tells us to come to the table often, and he leaves it up to us to figure out how often is often. In the early church, Christians met and communed every Sunday. At one point in church history, a lot of Lutherans went down to four times a year. When I grew up in the 60s, at least in our little corner of the world, it was once a month. My dear Grandma Griffin, who was a devout Roman Catholic, went to Mass daily, at least in her later years. Here at St. Paul Lutheran, in normal times, we choose to define often as every Sunday. Which brings us back to the original point I made. There are at least two kinds of Christians tonight, those who are hungry and thirsty for the supper, and those not particularly fired up about it. If you are not hungry and thirsty for the Lord's Supper, Luther has three suggestions for you. First, he says, no better advice can be given than you put your hand in your bosom and feel whether or not you still have flesh and blood. And if that doesn't convince you that you need the Lord's Supper, he says, look around to see whether you're still in the world or not. And if that doesn't do it, understand that there that the devil will be after you in every one of your days. He will be lying and deceiving and causing all kinds of trouble. The last thing in the world the devil wants us to have peace. The last thing in the world the devil wants us to have tonight is peace. Peace, of course, is exactly what Christ would offer. Even though we find ourselves staying away from our beautiful sanctuaries, even though it is not possible to receive our favorite meal tonight, we know that wherever two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus, there he is in the midst of us. He's present in the preaching and the teaching and the remembering of God's word. He's present in the words of absolution spoken by pastors all across the globe tonight, as if Jesus spoke them himself. One question, three answers in closing tonight. The question is, why should we receive the Lord's Supper frequently? Answer number one, we should do this because Christ commands us to do it. In the famous words of Nike, just do it. Do this supper as a way of remembering the death and the resurrection of Jesus for you. Do this supper as a way of being in fellowship with folks who believe the same way you believe. Do this supper as a way of proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes again. Do this supper as a way of tasting heaven on earth. The kingdom of God is like an elderly couple who is still doing what their parents did, and before that their grandparents, all the way back to the old country. On Saturday night, they review the Ten Commandments. They examine their consciences. They remember how seriously they have sinned, how fragile has been their faith. Sunday morning, they kneel at the altar. They sense Jesus holding them close. The voice of their good shepherd comforts them. And not too far away from this elderly couple, a granddaughter says to herself, "Someday, I want to be strong in my faith, just like Grandma and Grandpa." Secondly, we should do this often because Christ promises to bestow upon us his blessing. Chiefly, we are blessed with the forgiveness of sins. Secondly, rest for our souls. "Come unto me, all who are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Third, at the table there is strength for a holier life, as if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And fourth, there is a blessing of bearing testimony that we are of one faith, because there is one bread. We who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. The kingdom of God is like a middle-aged woman who is feeling guilty tonight because she hasn't been using her time well. She's tired from staying at home. She's worrying about the world in which she lives. She's weak from trying to make it through hard times on her own. She's lonely. She misses her husband and her parents who have gone on before her into heaven. She kneels at the altar. She eats and she drinks. And in that moment, her guilt gives way to a clean conscience. Tiredness gives way to a new energy. Her frail spirit stands up strong. Her loneliness is swallowed up at Holy Communion. Why should we do this often? Number one, Christ commands us to. Number two, he promises to bless us. And number three, we should do this often because we need what God is wanting to give us here. The kingdom of God is like a church that is scattered on Maundy Thursday, 2020. So much that they don't know tonight. So much that is uncertain. But this night, they have this in common. They know that they are the loved, the precious, the redeemed, the forgiven, the enlightened, the sanctified people of God. They know that the Lord's Supper is essential to their spiritual health. They know their God can be trusted. They know that as often as they eat and drink with repentant and believing hearts, that often they are proclaiming the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ until he comes back again. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which surpasses human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith unto life eternal. Amen. We're going to have special music tonight. I think they're singing Remembrance, the communion song. And they're way back there in the balcony, Kelly Lenz and our organist Caleb Schmidt. Thank you. Thank you so much, Kelly and Caleb. We continue now with the closing part of Vespers, beginning with the Kyrie on page 233.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, hear my prayer.
Let my cry come to you.
O Lord, in Holy Communion, you leave us with a remembrance of your passion. Grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood, that the fruits of your redemption may continually be made manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Gracious God, in the midst of plagues and enemies that threaten and a world filled with conflict and terror, give us wise leaders, O Lord, that we may be preserved from harm. Guide those who make and administer our laws to act in timely and prudent ways, and give to all judges knowledge to render justice with mercy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Bless all military, emergency, and medical workers who defend us and help us here and abroad. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, spare your people and turn this pandemic away. Preserve the sick, comfort the fearful, and grant to the dying your peace. Hear us on behalf of all those that we name in our hearts. Give us healing in accordance with your will, strength to bear up under the burdens of this mortal life, and comfort and hope in every trial. Lord, in your mercy. You know, O Lord, what we need, and you have promised never to abandon us. Help us to endure in faith, and with a joyful countenance receive the blessings of your grace and the answers to our prayers. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We conclude with the Benedicamus and the benediction. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always.
Amen.
Our closing song is number 739, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Number 739. Precious Lord, take my hand.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, leave me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. when my life is almost gone. Hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, take my home. When the darkness appears and the night draws near and the day is almost gone, at the river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Amen.
Well, for those of you who are still with us, thanks for tuning in tonight. We will be live streaming and radio broadcasting tomorrow evening service at 6 o'clock, Good Friday, 6 o'clock in the evening, and Easter Sunday services are at 6:30 in the morning and 9 o'clock in the morning, with the 9 o'clock service being on the radio and both of them being live streamed. So God bless all of you and keep you strong in your faith.